Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of See You at the Campground, a guide to discovering community, connection, and a happier family in the great outdoors.
10 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in with the latest RV innovations for people in the know.
Pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. We're doing a two-part mini-series, and the episode we did yesterday was just taking you behind the scenes to see what it's been like running a dealership during this pandemic. And we talked to Josh the RV Nerd from Haylett RV, and Michigan's been pretty strict, so that was really interesting to hear how they've dealt with this and how they've come roaring back. And today we're going to be talking to Dan and Aaron Thiem from the InTown Campground, and they've been on this podcast two or three times. And they're in California, where it's also been strict, so they've been on an emotional roller coaster ride, and they're going to take us behind the scenes and let us know what it's like to own and operate a campground during this crazy time. But before we dive in and say hello to Dan and Aaron, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
There are a few lessons that RVers learn quickly. Things aren't always easy. There's always some work to be done and a helping hand to be shared. A little dirt never hurt, and the forecast does not always cooperate. But the most important thing that RVers ever learn, a bit of resilience goes a long way. So let's all lead the charge back together. RVers were built for this, and Jayco was built for this. To find out more, visit jayco.com/builtforthis for comeback-related news and advice.
Now, Dan and Aaron, it's been a while since you have been on this show. It's been too long. So start out by reminding everybody who you are and telling us a bit about the InTown Campground.
Sure. Well, thanks for having us back on the show. We're honored. We got the opportunity to share with you some of our journey of building our campground. We built it from the ground up, and we opened for business July 1st of 2016. And then we've also talked a little bit about being in the younger generation of campground owners. I know that you had Dan on the show after he'd been to the National Campground Owner Association conference a couple years ago, and that was sort of a good insight in terms of how people are, what they're doing and behind the scenes of the campground industry.
Okay, so either Dan or Aaron, tell us about the campground a little. Like, how many sites do you have? Do we have glamping tents, RV sites? Give us a picture of the InTown campground.
RV camping, glamping tents, and regular tent camping. That's pretty unique in our area of the country anyway. Most of the tent camping locations are state or Forest Service parks. So we like to say that you have all the look and feel of a state park, but the amenities of a private campground.
So tell us what a normal spring is like at the InTown campground. Like, just kind of, let's not think about this year yet, but what would you have been doing last year? What would have been going on business-wise? How busy would you have been?
Yeah, I mean, we're a very seasonal business, like many campgrounds. I like to use the analogy that our campground breathes with the seasons. And over the wintertime, you have this big exhale as you kind of ramp down from the season before. You start thinking about projects and capital improvements and maintenance. And then as spring rolls around, you start taking a big, deep breath in, and you're waiting for the summer season to start. So it can be a little weather dependent as to what the season kind of shapes up to be. Normally, say by March, the weather's definitely turned, the flowers are out, and people are itching to get out of their homes and get out camping. So it really is a season of transition and anticipation.
So you guys, I assume, were just kind of getting ready in February / early March to start greeting a lot more customers and have the campground in great shape. And then take us back. I mean, what happened at the beginning of March or the middle of March? I don't know the exact time frame for you guys. I mean, how did the pandemic initially affect you at the beginning of spring?
Yeah, it was really interesting. So, you know, we're ramping up the operation, getting ready to go. And for us, a big part of that is getting our glamping tents re-put back together, getting all the bedding in there and the furniture. And we start that process typically right at the end of February, early March. We like to open them right in that period. And we had literally just finished setting all of them up And this was, I think, a week before the governor's orders came down to shut everything down. We kind of saw the writing on the wall, if that makes sense. We knew that this was going to be really impactful. We didn't really know how impactful. So we kept kind of the bookings going, and we had a full glamping campground, full for glamping one weekend with a hiking group, and we had to shut it down within, I think it was 3 days. Everything was just like done. And then we had to deconstruct everything.
So you really got a taste of opening up, and then it's almost like worst case scenario. You went through all the work and then you had to shut back down.
Yeah, it was, it's almost indescribable, the feeling, because, as you guys know, when we opened the campground, there was this huge energy of anticipation and a lot of stress, and it felt very much like that in reverse. It was all of the uncertainty with a big black void in front of you, and it was really unnerving.
Yeah, I think that that's exactly how most people would describe the experience, regardless of the industry they were in, right? Like, usually you see problems or issues coming and you plan for them, right? And you go through your different scenarios and you decide what will work best. And I think for everybody, it felt like there was absolutely no way to plan, right? You had no idea what was happening. It was a big black void for a lot of people. So, there was a lot of, stress for full-time RVers, right, at this time, I think all the way back in March, because, these people were impacted in a way that they needed to shelter in place, but they didn't necessarily have a sticks and bricks home to do that in. So some campgrounds were opening for those full-time RVers. Was that the case for your campground?
Yeah, it was. And we're thankful that our California RV Park Association really lobbied on behalf of those full-timers in the state of California to help get that considered an essential service so that we could provide those services to those campers who needed them. And we also were able to host some people who were working in the medical field, a traveling nurse and a doctor who was doing a couple of shifts in our local hospital. So that was really great to be able to provide those needs. The other thing that we provided to our community, which I'm sure your audience will understand and appreciate, was that our dump service was able to stay open as the only other dump station in our community was closed and did not have a way to adapt. And so we provided that only, we were the only ones to be able to provide that service during the shutdown. So we had a lot of people who were really appreciative of that.
So how crowded were you during that time? Did we have 5 full-timers or 10? Was the campground ever full with people coming in and out? Was it able to keep you guys on life support?
The short answer is no. It, slowed the bleeding marginally, I guess. But it was just, we have a very small number of RV sites. We only have 16 RV sites. So of those, probably 6 or 7 are really suitable for full-time rigs. The larger rigs with 50-amp service have a bit more space. So I would say at any one time, we might have had 5 or 6 people in camp. If nothing else, though, it provided at least me purpose. I would get up every day, I put my uniform on and my name tag, and I'd go over there and just check in and make sure everybody was getting what they needed. And I felt that was a really grounding experience for me. And people would ask all the time, why are you even bothering? I'm like, because I need to, it's just something to keep me on track.
Yeah, you two of all couples are not used to any downtime, I think. So it was probably quite a shift. Erin, you also actually run the local Outside Inn. You two are always very busy. Did your business there come to a screeching halt?
Yes, the Outside Inn is a motel, and it also, we weren't allowed to host any recreational visitors at either business, which are who our customers are. So the same, we were able to host a few essential travelers, but we were talking 2% and 3% occupancy. So it wasn't like it was bustling by any means, but we're thankful to be able to serve those people who needed the services. The lack of purpose and the unknown was not an easy path for either of us. I'm thankful that we're looking at it in the rearview mirror.
Thank
and
God.
I would just add on to that, the people who we have been able to serve in that time, the amount of appreciation that they've shown has been really great. especially the full-time RVers, they would come in and they're like, thank you for being open. We had no idea what we were going to do. I mean, it was, Stephanie, and you kind of mentioned this, this amount of anxiety that they had as the whole country was shutting down. And they were calling from states away to say, can you fit me? And, you know, usually we could. And that was really satisfying, you know, a small glimmer of light in that pretty dark period.
Yeah, I mean, you just heard those stories across our community where people were looking at how quickly, right, they could jet across certain states to get to a home base. And I do think that there was a little bit of a shift in the community of kind of that, okay, from now on, right, like nobody would have like pandemic planning as part of their, you know, route to full-time RV lifestyle. But I do think that it's one of those things that going forward, people are going to think more about a different type of emergency, right, before they hit the road for longer RV
and
travel.
You gave a shout out to your state Campground Owners Association. I mean, I think across the board, they're sort of like a lot of secret heroes in those state organizations and the national.
And the RVIA did a lot of lobbying.
The RVIA doing that lobbying, just letting government officials know, like, there are, you know, a million or whatever people living in their RVs right now, and you can't just shut down everything. They have nowhere to go. So I'm glad that your state organization lobbied for you guys. All right, we're going to come back, and we're going to kind of flip to the bright side a little bit and get to talk about what's going on right now, and then maybe let these busy campground owners go and greet some of their guests this weekend. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park Camp Resorts.
Award-winning Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories. Whether you're an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comforts of a cabin, or you prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities. And with over 75 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that's also close to home.
And they're basically saying now that they're all open with a couple exceptions,
yeah.
Right? So the vast majority of the Yogi Bear campgrounds are open, but go online, go to the website, give the campgrounds a call. There are still cases where pools are open or pools are not open.
Well, right. We've shifted from asking which campgrounds are open to what amenities and activities are available, right? So that's now kind of your research challenge to make sure that the campground that you decide to go to and spend some time at is a good fit for you. And the great thing is I think that I'm hearing across the board that people are just embracing a different kind of summer, right? A different kind
Instead
of camping
of,
summer.
You know, putting your arms around Yogi and giving him a hug for a photo.
He gets photo bombs.
They're doing Yogi
right?
photo
yes.
bombs. So they're adjusting so many of the things they do.
We all need to be good sports.
And the important thing is to remember, it's not just the campground. It's a Jellystone Park. So check them out at jellystonepark.com. So Aaron and Dan, when were you guys, did you think you were going to be able to open up and they kept delaying it? Or did it all happen all at once and they just said, now you can open up?
It was this incredible game of uncertainty. So they would actually never provide us any details about when or if. And kind of circling back to the idea of hosting full-timers, one of the challenges we had was saying, we don't know if we're going to be able to honor all these reservations we already had on the book. So, you know, we couldn't bring somebody in for, say, 3 months because we had all of these existing reservations. And so it was this trickle of information coming out. And we didn't find out until, I think it was 2 weeks ago, the state released their guidelines on reopening campgrounds. And then from there, it was a sort of a county process where they evaluate the local conditions in your area and then decide whether or not you can open based on those recommendations.
Were there stages of opening?
Not for us. There are generally in the state, but not for our campground. One of the things we had actually done probably a month into the shutdown was provide them an operating plan that was a staged or a phased reopening, just saying, hey, you know, we believe we can do this responsibly. Here's, you know, the things that we plan on doing, and here's the information as to why it's appropriate. And we really didn't get any traction from that at all.
I think it's great to tell your audience that the county public health director signed off on our we can reopen, and we reopened the camp the following day. And here we are 1 week into camp is open for the summer. And it's been an insane, crazy roller coaster of staffing up and getting all of our modifications and signage and different operating procedures up and running. So it's been full go. We did not have a whole lot of time before when we got the guidelines to when we got to open to
to when we hosted campers. So we're on this train and it's running.
Yeah. So let's talk about that a little bit. Like, what happened when you found out that you could open? Did you have to kind of reach out on social media to your camping community? Did you have to say like, hey, world, we're open? Or like, did the phone start ringing off the hook?
So when we got shut down, we initially took reservations for the future. But as we all know, this pandemic lasted longer than we were. And the amount of cancellations that we had processed was so large that we took a pause on all of our bookings just because we didn't know what the requirements and modifications were going to be. And we just didn't feel comfortable with more bookings going forward. And so when we found out that we were going to be possibly able to open a week later, we put out a little notice that said, we'll let you know when we get the guidelines and the green light and bear with us. And then we got the green light, and I'll be honest, we did not tell the world that we were open. We did a soft opening last weekend because we needed the time to sort of get our feet underneath us. And then we told the world we were taking reservations on Monday of the beginning of this week, and we reopened up all our bookings. And I don't even have words to describe. It was insane. So our community rallied and got as excited as we've never seen them and booked and booked and booked and booked and booked and booked. So that was the testament to the power of social media and a strong email list. When you tell your campers we're ready for you, they show up.
Well, it's two things, yeah, too. People love your campground. You've been around now for a few years, and obviously people want to come see you. But then there's just also this deep human desire to get outside right now and to get out of the house. So that's pretty impressive. I mean, so Monday was nonstop phone calls.
It was awesome. We sent out an email blast that said, we're opening our reservations online Monday at 9 a.m. And then our phone would go live at 10 a.m. And we were sitting in front of the inbox. I was at the campground and Aaron was at home managing the phone at home. And every notification for an email was like, ding, 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 ding. You felt like you were in an arcade. It was so awesome. It's going to be one of my favorite memories of running a campground.
Oh, that I can picture it now. I got chills when you said like the alerts were just going off. I really did. Because it was just you were talking about that breathing metaphor early on, but you were basically holding your breath for months.
Absolutely.
And just kind of like able to exhale.
Yeah, exhale and then like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Everybody get ready.
I think of in that metaphor, I posted a social media post on Earth Day, and I talked about how we built the community, or we built the campground to share it with community, and not being able to share it with people was really, really difficult for us. And I think that that was just a really great example of like, why did we do this? And what is our purpose? And then not being able to share that with people was difficult. And I think that as we go through a summer, which will probably be busier than we ever imagined, we'll have to just keep circling back to that. Why? And giving the gift to the outdoors to people and being able to sit outside under the trees, and what a great and amazing opportunity that is.
So how's the campground, just a couple examples quickly, like, I mean, how is it going to look different this summer with social distancing guidelines? You said you were putting up a new signage. I mean, what are some things you had to do that you probably never thought about doing before?
Yeah, so as Aaron mentioned, a lot of what we built was this idea of creating and embracing community. So we have all these amazing communal spaces that unfortunately are going to have to be shut down for the summer. So we have this awesome communal building called the Commons that has a kitchen and lounge and dining room. And because of the interior space and the congregating of a certain number of people, we're not going to be able to run that this summer. So that's one major change. Our communal fire pits are also another thing that's going to be a big change. We've taken those off for the summer. And in fact, for this weekend, we've rented more of our individual propane fire pits than we've ever rented before. And I think that's just people kind of adjusting, saying, hey, you know, maybe I didn't want to sit by a communal fire pit. I'd rather just sit with my family at my site. So those are some things. We're still not sure about the pool. We're waiting for environmental health to give us the go ahead on that, you know. Hopefully, because it's going to be really hot this week.
So. You know, I know as owners, I hear the pain in your voice. Like, I know as owners that you're proud of that, you know, communal center and the pool and all these other things. But I just want you to know, like, from the camper's perspective, because, you know, Stephanie and I, we went on our first camping trip already, thank God. Everyone was just so thankful to be there that nobody was grumpy or complaining about what was closed. And I would really anticipate that.
I think that's true. And I just think that what they're pointing to is a certain, like, underlying sadness. And I think that we felt that when we went camping. I mean, that pool at the play, at the, you know, it was a beautiful weekend when we went and the pool was shut down. And there was just every time you walked by, there was a little bit of a like, oh, it would be nice to be there, but we're not. And I think that like Dan and Aaron specifically were inspired by a camp, you know, a certain campground environment that they had experienced when they were overseas traveling, and they brought that here. And I think rightfully so. There's probably always going to be this little bit of like, you know, sad face on them when they look to those spaces this summer. And I think that's okay. You know, we have to look on the bright side, but we can also be like, you know what? We miss those parts about our life.
You know, you're right. And what I've noticed, even in the last week, I remember I called Aaron at some stage and I said, honey, it feels so good to have problems to fix.
Right.
And last weekend was the weekend of the leaky faucets, you know, all the RV sites were leaking for some reason. And I was like, this is so amazing to be able to just go to the site, figure out what the problem is and fix it for the customer and just see how happy they are and talk about them, talk about their story and where they are. And so that sense of community, you know, I'm starting to really appreciate a lot more, just those little individual connections that we've been able to make with the campers. And it's going to be awesome this summer. We're going to have a ton of those, and I'm really excited by it.
That's great. And you two obviously have the heart for hospitality, if that's the way you look at it. If you're looking at that being the bright spot of your job, you two are clearly but in the industry that you should be in.
My darkest moments during this whole thing were those moments of helplessness, though, where just like, well, I can't do anything about whatever the problem was I was confronted with, whether it was with my kids or our business or whatever. So we have one last message here from our friends at Thetford. We're going to come back and wrap it up with Dan and Aaron and let them go run their awesome campground.
AquaBio is a new twist on holding tank treatments. It offers today's RVers a formaldehyde and bromopol-free formula, which makes it comply with
the state of California,
California standards. We got California in the house today, right?
You guys
got
to stock AquaBio.
So the AquaBio is a more campground-friendly, a more earth-friendly way to keep your holding tanks in tip-top condition. So you're going to eliminate odors while digesting waste and toilet paper to prevent clogging, but all without any harsh chemicals. It's proudly made in the USA, and Thetford's new AquaBio is formulated and tested safe for all RV and marine toilets, holding tanks, and septic systems. You can get it in liquid, toss-in, and dry options. Visit Thetford.com for more information.
All right, one last question for each of you. Aaron, what is your favorite thing about owning and operating the in-town campground?
I like seeing people out enjoying what we built, and I think that I'm never going to get old of that or sick of that, because I think when you see the person in their tent or their RV or their glamping tent, and they're just enjoying the amenities and the space and the outdoors, and that was what we wanted to design for them, and they get to do it, then that brings me joy, and that never goes away.
Dan, how about you?
You know, it's such a tactile, hands-on business that I feel like every day is a complete different day. And there's no monotony in what we do. And there's a lot of satisfaction in being able to offer, you know, this amazing thing that has so many different diverse parts to it. So I get really excited about that.
All right, you guys, tell everybody who's listening who wants to come visit the in-town campground and meet you fabulous people where they can find you on social media.
So we have an Instagram that's in-town campground, and we're also on Facebook and Twitter and Pinterest, and our website is intowncampground.com. And we have had the pleasure of meeting some of your listeners in real life, and so I just want to remind all those people that are listening that we love getting that, oh, hey, we heard you on that podcast when you stop by at camp, because we've had that opportunity before, and we look forward to having that opportunity again.
Well, may your phones always be dinging.
Dinging, lots of dings.
I loved that. lots of dinging. I'm sure each one brought a smile to your face. And one day, it is on my bucket list. We will come and see you at your campground.
All right. We'll see you guys.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas.
And a big thank you to our sponsors, Jayco, Thetford, Cabela's, Jellystone, and Go RVing. They provide great quality products and resources for RVers and also support the production of this show. We personally believe in them and are happy to share our favorite products with you.
You can find blog posts and links with everything mentioned in this episode over at thervatlas.com.
And you can join the friendliest group of RVers over on Facebook in our private RV Atlas group.
And as always, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.